Welcome to your Daily Cup of Inspiration podcast with Deanna Hobbs, founder of Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, broadcasting live from our headquarters studios in Buffalo, New York. Visit us online at empoweringeverydaywomen.org.
Today's inspiration is part two of Unbox God, which will deal with the flip side of faith. I can't give too much away before getting into today's word from the Lord, but God whispered into my spirit last evening that the concept of unboxing Him, which we delved into together yesterday, was not yet fully explored. If you have not listened to yesterday's podcast or read the devotion, whichever way you choose to digest the cup of inspiration, be sure to do so. Part two is a continuation of what God began yesterday, and I don't want you to miss a single moment. Welcome to this, your Friday, April 12th, 2024 edition of your Daily Cup of Inspiration podcast. It's Deanna Hobbs here, your bestie from Buffalo, your sister from another mister, your faith activator, bringing you the biggest smiles and the warmest greetings ever. I am happy in my soul on this rainy, windy morning here in the Queen City. I went out today, bestie, and that wind just about blew me over. It was howling and carrying on, but I'm here in the studio again. Somebody has been praying. I'm here back-to-back days to do this great work of the Lord. I know I've got some anointed faith warriors in the Daily Cup family, some Bible scholars, some missionaries, some intercessors, some Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized, hand-clapping, foot-stumping, tongue-talking saints, and some don't do no tongue-talking, and that's all right, too. We are so happy to have you. Makes me think about that scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 through 14 that says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." We are one in the body of Christ. Amen. All are welcome here. It does not matter what denomination you're from. I grew up in the Pentecostal church, exposed to the fivefold ministry outlined in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We laid hands, fell out under the power of God, screamed, ran, shouted, cried. We're very expressive in our praise. If you invite me to your church, I will praise the Lord in the dance. With no shame, all right? This ministry, however, Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, is non-denominational. And our team comprises good folks that love Jesus from different races, ethnicities, and backgrounds. But the one thing that unites us is our belief that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, is alive in us, is the only way to the Father and to eternal life. And we will someday join Him in heaven and see Him face to face. For we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, as Romans 1 and 16 tells us. We are sold out for Jesus around here, bestie. I don't play. I love Jesus, and I don't mind telling everybody everywhere I go. I know my Redeemer lives because He's alive in me. What does Psalm 107 and 2 say? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let me quit. I need a pulpit because I feel like preaching. Oh my, bestie, the Lord has been speaking to me constantly, and I have been eager as ever to get myself in this here studio and deliver this word to you as you're heading into your weekend. We are so blessed to be here together to receive what thus saith the Lord, aren't we? Thank you for your unwavering support of the ministry of this podcast, of this girl, Deanna Hobbs, from upstate New York, who feels privileged in every way to share the gospel. I love reading your comments, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, however you send them. It ministers to me and blesses me to hear about how God is ministering to you and blessing you through His Word. And that's why my heart was so uplifted by this amazing testimony, bestie, about two friends. Their names are Bridget and Sharina, both from Houston, Texas, who have been touched by this ministry. It was a lengthy, beautiful message that was written by Bridget with such an incredible backstory. I'll read some of it, just some of it. Will you bear with me for a moment? It says, "Hey, Deanna, we absolutely love how down to earth you are, and the way you connect with us is just amazing. I've been through a lot with a wrong diagnosis of schizophrenia, which only piled on more trouble on top of the actual bipolar disorder I was dealing with. I tried to drown out the confusion in my head with drugs and alcohol, always feeling out of place. The one person who's always been there for me is my friend Sharina, who's been my best friend since the fifth grade. She's been fighting her own battle with depression. Back in school, people would call us crazy, and that really stuck with us. Both of us grew up knowing about Jesus. I went to church because of my grandparents, and Sharina's parents were pretty involved in their church. But when it came to understanding mental health, it felt like we were on our own. We felt like outsiders, even around other Christians. Then about a year or two back, I heard you talking about your own mental health in a way that was so open and honest. You've always been one of my favorite Bible teachers. Wow. But when you shared your struggles, it hit me hard. I was in tears and I just had to tell Sharina, you have to listen to this. Your honesty about mental health has been a game changer for us. It's like we can finally breathe. We feel understood. We appreciate you so much. You bring us hope. Your podcast and devotions mean the world to us. God bless you. Lots of love. Your two besties from Texas." Gee, glory to God. I need a minute. I'm so emotional. I'm trying to hold it together in this studio. This is special, meaningful. Thank God for being so loving and kind and generous. Sharing mental health struggles can be hard, but I'm so glad, Bridget and Sharina, that God has used my own personal struggle to minister to you. I am undone in His presence right now. My words escape me. So you know what? Can we just get a crazy, radical need to call the ushers to make a circle around somebody and get the big tablecloth to cover them up when they get slain in the spirit kind of Pentecostal praise break right here? Hey, glory to God. I don't think I'm done. I need to get in a little more praise on this here Friday.
Powerful and inspiring testimonies like this remind us that God is transforming lives through this ministry. We are grateful for your support that keeps these broadcasts available online as a free resource to help others grow in their faith. If you are being blessed and you believe in our mission to share the gospel, sow a seed of any size at empoweringeverydaywomen.org/donate. Thank you for your generosity.
All right. My soul magnifies the Lord and exalts His holy name. I've got to move on and get into this word today. It's life transforming. I'm so glad you're here, bestie. So glad you're here. Real quick, as we prepare to hear from God in this audio devotion, which is a companion to the written devotion, available right now at yourdailycupofinspiration.com if you prefer to read it. Let's go to the throne of grace, for we know God hears our earnest cries and supplications, God our Father, thank you for your anointing that is already so prevalent and palpable in this place. We sense it. Oh my. And we know that you sent this precious individual here to press play because you have a word for them. Anoint me today for this assignment. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Whew, my spirit is full. Unbox God, the flip side of faith. Bestie, you know, we revel in the aspect of faith where our fervent prayers and belief seem to summon miracles, unlock blessings, and demolish barriers. Our spirits soar on the tales of divine might, like those in the Bible, the parting of the Red Sea, Exodus 14, water flowing from a rock, Exodus 17, manna raining from the heavens, Exodus 16, the raising of the Shunammite woman's son from death, 2 Kings 4, sight restored to the blind, Matthew 9, the cleansing of 10 lepers, Luke 17, and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, John 11. These authentic biblical accounts embolden our faith and empower us to anticipate the miraculous in our own lives. Verses about mountain-moving faith, like Matthew 17, 20, are exhilarating, and personally, I've witnessed such power. I've stood at death's door with dire medical prognoses, and yet I've seen God's healing hand restore me. I've heard code blue ring out in a hospital room only to be revived by the power of intercessory prayer. I've been carried into a service, unable to walk, only to dance out completely healed. Yes, I've seen God's wonders. He remains a God of miracles. If you've followed my journey, you know that faith is my cornerstone. However, it would be a disservice to you if I omitted the other side of faith, the side where God, despite our fervent faith, chooses to let the mountain remain, the illness run its course, a loved one pass away, or the thorn in the flesh persist. This is the flip side of faith. Flip side denotes another aspect or version. Often it's reverse or the less desirable part. And truthfully, none of us wants to confront this flip side where our cries seemingly go unheard by God, where like Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, we plead for the affliction to be lifted only to hear, "My grace is sufficient for you." In the quiet of last evening, as the clock neared 8 o'clock p.m., I found myself enveloped in an all too familiar fatigue. It's a type of exhaustion that transcends physical tiredness, seeping into the mental and emotional realms. It's as though a gray cloud has settled over my world, blotting out the sun and casting everything in shadow. This exhaustion isn't new. It's been my nightly companion since 2019, when an allergic reaction to an antibiotic spiraled into a mini stroke, seizures, and a fight for life in the ICU. The aftermath left me with brain trauma and compromised my immune system. And each night since then, I grapple with emotional dysregulation, a symptom that renders my emotions overwhelming and difficult to control. My medical team and therapist have explained that this nightly battle is a normal side effect of brain trauma. By day's end, after the effort of thinking, being active, and fulfilling tasks, I'm spent. My capacity is diminished and the toll is heavy. Despite the indwelling strength of God, I am human, bearing the scars of a traumatic brain injury that, for reasons only He knows, has not been fully healed, and yet I trust Him. Through tears and heartache, I trust Him. Last night, bestie, as this wave of despair hit, my husband Kenya entered the room. His timely presence was a beacon of compassion. As he saw the weight I carried, he opened a book on Psalm 23, speaking of trust in God, even through the darkest valleys. I confess to Kenya the frustration of trying all I could to feel better, to claw back to normalcy, to manage the mental and emotional turmoil, to rise above the physical weakness. I spoke of the anxiety that brain trauma brings, making the ordinary seem fearsome, and PTSD that jolts me awake in panic. In my efforts to recover through vitamins, exercise, proper diet, scripture, prayer, and meditation on the promises of God, I still find myself in the throes of suffering. Sometimes a lack of clarity makes me feel personally responsible for my pain and turmoil. It's tempting to blame myself, to feel as if I've somehow earned this hardship through some fault of my own. Can I be vulnerable and personal today? But the author of the book, Kenya Red, suggested that we often prefer the notion of guilt over the helplessness of powerlessness. Wow, right? Hearing that, he said, and I'm quoting, "Many people would rather feel guilty than powerless unlock this flood of emotions within me." I mean, tears flow freely as I realize the depth of guilt I had internalized. It's challenging to sit in darkness, in hardship, without understanding the why. The feeling of powerlessness can be overwhelming. I know God sent me to talk to somebody today. This is not just for me, it's for you. Yet in that moment of vulnerability, God spoke through my husband, reminding me that while I may be powerless, he is almighty. Stop looking for the solution and trust me, I am the solution, God seemed to whisper. Throughout my life, since my early 20s, I've faced illnesses that baffled doctors with no explanation as to why. Last night, God delivered a message I didn't know I desperately needed. It's not your fault. Kenya's words struck me profoundly. It's not your fault. You didn't do anything to deserve this. And yet, through it all, God is with you. He loves you. Knowing something intellectually and feeling it in your soul are worlds apart, right? I know God loves me and is with me, but in the midst of life's storms, that knowledge can feel distant. You see, the journey I've been on for the past 5 years has been one of perseverance through the darkness, through confusion, through unpredictable days. Though God delivered me from the brink of death, He led me into a different wilderness, one marked by brain trauma and its resultant struggle. This is what the flip side of faith looks like for me. It's enduring the unendurable, confronting consequences I didn't cause, and forging ahead through storms that seem everlasting. It's learning that deliverance from one trial may lead to another. But even as I walk through this valley, this desert, this tempest, I am assured of God's unwavering love and presence. Have I got a witness? Anybody else still believe that he is who he says he is despite the storm? You know, the flip side of faith has taught me, bestie, to endure, to trust that the Lord is by my side and to accept his way even when it's not the path I would have chosen. There's not a fiber of my being that doubts his nature or his power. Bestie, I know life is hard, and I share this so that you might know you're not alone. Yes, I've witnessed miraculous deliverance, but I'm also familiar with the wilderness where I now find myself. It's challenging, but again and always, I trust God. If you're wandering, if life is difficult, if conventional rescue hasn't appeared, if there's been no parting of the Red Sea in your life, mature faith says it's enough that God is with us. I trust him to guide me through however he deems best. This is what unboxing God looks and sounds like on the flip side of faith. You know, we all yearn for the victory story. how God led us from barrenness into abundance. But what about when he keeps us in the wilderness instead of leading us out? When he allows us to endure droughts, leaving us to feel parched and weak? He is not only the God of refreshing springs, he is the God of the dry places as well. Consider the Israelites in Exodus 17, 1 through 7, who, after wandering in the desert, settled at Rephidim, a name meaning resting place in Hebrew. They likely sighed with relief, expecting rest and comfort, yet Rephidim offered no water. The distress of dehydration set in with its dizziness, headaches, rapid heartbeat, and muscle cramps. This was their harsh reality at what was supposed to be a place of rest. Previously in Exodus 16, the Israelites lamented their freedom as it came without the regular meals they had in Egypt. Freedom felt less like liberation and more like deprivation. Despite their grumbling, God provided manna by morning and quail by evening, yet they longed for the predictability of Egypt. Arriving at Rephidim after such trials, their anger was palpable, and they were on the verge of stoning Moses. In his desperation, Moses prayed, and God instructed him to strike a rock at Horeb to bring forth water. The place where water flowed was named Massa, testing, and Meribah, quarreling, for the people had quarreled and tested God, doubting his presence among them. This juncture of rest and testing is uncomfortable, but not uncommon. We've all been there, anticipating a break or a certain milestone, only to find ourselves tested instead. God allows this to teach us to find rest, not in circumstances, but in his promises. It's not about resting in Rephidim, but in our refuge, God himself. At the intersection of Rephidim and Massa, the good we expect doesn't materialize, leaving us bewildered and questioning. Yet it's here that God calls us to trust him. This is the flip side of faith, where rest isn't tied to a place or situation, but to him alone. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28 through 29, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our true rest, bestie, is in the Lord, regardless of our circumstances. When we rest in him, our physical location or condition becomes irrelevant. Divine rest assures us of comfort everywhere, even in the driest wilderness. He is our refuge, not Rephidim. Our tests remind us to rely on him always. I recall, bestie, a personal trial when my brother Joey's critical condition due to COVID was made known to me a couple years ago. And despite earnest prayers and national intercession, he deteriorated. Through dreams and other confirmations, God revealed he wouldn't heal Joey. It wasn't due to a lack of faith, but a recognition of God's sovereignty. Amidst the sorrow, God granted me an inexplicable peace. Joey's passing, our first sibling loss in our family, was profound, especially since he was a staunch believer in healing. Through this, God affirmed that his omnipotence goes hand in hand with his supreme authority over outcomes, demanding our complete trust in his will. We retain the capacity to trust God and find peace in his promises and presence. He pledges his unwavering presence in Matthew 28, 20, especially as rendered in the Amplified translation. It says, "And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age." This divine rest is the essence of abundant life. While we may emerge battered, God mends our wounds, comforts our sorrows, and restores our spirits. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 in the King James Version reminds us that while we may not escape all storms, they will not overcome us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The flip side of faith declares, I am devastated, but not defeated. I am hurting, but not without hope. I am down, but not out. I face a temporary setback, not a permanent standstill. The flip side of faith ushers us into a profound realization when our prayers appear unanswered or outcomes diverge from our desires. It's not a reflection of defective faith or ineffective prayers. Instead, it represents a moment of surrender to God's sovereignty. This is mirrored in Jesus' struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm almost through. There, anticipating his impending crucifixion, Jesus experienced unspeakable agony, sweating drops akin to blood. He faced the looming pain and sacrifice necessary to reconcile humanity with the Father. Jesus, in his anguish, beseeched God, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, as recounted in Luke 22:42-44. The essence of the flip side of faith, the crux of this message, the unboxing of God from our ideals and preferences, is captured in one word, nevertheless. Nevertheless signifies a profound trust despite the circumstances. It's saying, God, I'd rather not go through this. Nevertheless, I thought healing would come by now. Nevertheless, I believed I'd be financially stable. Nevertheless, I envisioned a joyful marriage with children. Nevertheless, I saw myself stepping fully into my calling. Nevertheless, I thought the pain would cease by now. Nevertheless, I assumed I'd have overcome these mental and emotional barriers. Nevertheless, I anticipated rewards for my hard work. Nevertheless, I expected to reconcile those broken relationships. Nevertheless, I dreamed my efforts would bear fruit. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Not my expectations, but your divine plan. Not my dreams, but your purpose. Not what satisfies me, but what glorifies you. Not my timeline, but yours. Not my solution, but your providence. Not my aspirations, but your purpose. Not my comfort, but your transformation. Not what I perceive as success, but what you ordain as fruitful. Nevertheless, in you, I find fortitude to endure. Nevertheless, in your promises, I discover hope. Nevertheless, in your presence, I encounter peace. Nevertheless, in your word, I stand assured. Nevertheless, my heart remains steadfast, trusting in the Lord. The flip side of faith declares, amidst the tempest, I will still exalt you. When my heart aches, I will worship you. When doors remain closed, I will praise you in the hallway. When the answer is no, my soul still says yes to you, O God. Even as my plans crumble, I stand firm on your promises and emphatically declare, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Friend, the flip side of faith is rooted in the understanding that prosperity in God's kingdom isn't about all our dreams coming true. It's about the fulfillment of God's dreams within us, a vessel yielded to his molding, pliable in the potter's hand. Oh, bless your name, God. Isaiah 45:9-10. In the New Living Translation, which is the sweetener I'm stirring into your cup of inspiration, gently reminds us of our place in relation to our Maker, cautioning us against disputing with the one who shapes us, but accepting his will. It says, does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, "Stop, you're doing it wrong." Does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, 'Why was I born?' or to its mother, 'Why did you make me this way?'" As you savor this anointed and divinely inspired cup, know that the flip side of faith does not diminish the validity of your questions. Instead, it reframes them within the context of God's sovereignty. We don't recoil from the unknown, bestie, but embrace the mystery of His will. We find confidence in recognizing that each moment of our life is intentionally crafted by a sovereign God whose wisdom surpasses our understanding. When we bring questions before God, we do so with a heart willing to say yes and to trust Him anyway, knowing that He loves us with a perfect love and has a perfect plan for us. Now let's pray. God, I pray for this, my sister, this, my brother, today. We accept the invitation to surrender and find comfort in the knowledge that we are held in your hands, the God who shapes our lives with infinite wisdom and boundless love. Even though we don't always understand your ways, help us to accept your will, break free from the box of our expectations, and cry out in the words of Jesus, "Nevertheless, your will be done," for we trust you totally and completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your Daily Cup of Inspiration has been brought to you by Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, where we fuel your faith every day. For more information, log on to yourdailycupofinspiration.com.